Picture yourself in first class, seat 2A. You paid a premium to be up front. The drink is cold and somewhere over the heartland. The man across the aisle loses his mind. I mean that literally. What do you do? A group of passengers on a recent American Airlines flight answered that question with a roll of duct tape, and they weren't wrong to do it. I'm Tower. This is ATIES on Radio Hangar. Let's talk about what actually happened, what the law says about it, and why this story matters to everyone who flies in any seat on any airplane. Today's program is brought to you by AviationSoul.com. Aviation Challenge coins built to mark the milestones, discipline, and pride behind every step in flight. From first solo to airline transport pilot, every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. Here's what you need to know about the incident itself. According to AeroTime, passengers aboard an American Airlines flight intervened to physically restrain a disruptive man after he became uncontrollable in the first class cabin. They used duct tape, reportedly from somewhere on the aircraft, to secure him to his seat. The flight diverted as a result. The man was removed by law enforcement upon landing. That is the summary. But the headline doesn't tell the whole story. Let's start with what was happening in that cockpit when this went down. When a passenger event gets to the level of physical restraint, the flight crew has already been managing an escalating situation for some time. The captain doesn't make a diversion decision casually. A diversion costs an airline tens of thousands of dollars in fuel, crew repositioning, gate fees, and passenger rebooking. Nobody calls that play because someone got loud. You call that play when the situation has gone past the point where the crew can contain it safely and keep the flight operating. The fact that the crew diverted tells you everything about how serious the situation was. Now, here's the part that pilots and crew members know, but passengers often don't. Under Title 49 of the United States Code, and reinforced by Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, regulations, the pilot in command has absolute authority over the safe operation of that aircraft. Absolute. The captain can take any action necessary to protect the flight. That includes authorizing the restraint of a disruptive passenger. Crew members are trained to use restraint devices. Most commercial aircraft carry flex cuffs or dedicated restraint kits for exactly this purpose. What's interesting about this case is that passengers stepped in, which is not unusual, and they improvised with duct tape, which is a little unusual but not without precedent. Here's the legal question everyone wants to know the answer to. Can passengers get in trouble for doing that? Generally, no. And here's why. There's a long-standing legal principle in aviation, and it has been tested in court, that a private citizen who intervenes in good faith to assist the crew during a genuine in-flight emergency has significant legal protection. The FAA takes the position that crew authority extends to enlisting the help of able-bodied passengers in emergency situations. If the captain or a crew member asks for help, or even if the situation is clearly an emergency and passengers act to protect the safety of the flight, courts have been reluctant to hold those passengers liable. The disruptive passenger, on the other hand, faces serious federal charges. Interfering with a flight crew is a federal offense under Title 49, Section 46504. We're talking fines up to $25,000 and potential prison time. The Federal Bureau of Investigation, or FBI, takes jurisdiction the moment that plane touches down, regardless of which state it lands in. Now let's zoom out, because this incident doesn't exist in a vacuum. The post-pandemic era produced an explosion in unruly passenger incidents. The FAA tracked a dramatic spike starting in 2021 and began a zero-tolerance enforcement policy that same year. In 2021 alone, the agency received something like 5,700 reports of unruly passenger behavior, which was more than four times the previous annual average. The agency proposed nearly $100 million in civil penalties against disruptive passengers in that calendar year. The numbers have come down from that peak, but they have not returned to pre-pandemic levels. Flight attendants and crew associations have been saying for several years that the problem is structural, not cyclical. Passengers are less patient. Alcohol service practices have been scrutinized. Staffing pressures on crews mean less bandwidth to manage cabin dynamics before they escalate. What does all of this mean for the person listening who flies general aviation or who works professionally in this industry? A few things worth sitting with. First, the cabin is a pressurized tube at altitude with limited options. There is no pulling over. There is no calling backup. The crew manages with what they have, and sometimes what they have is a roll of duct tape and some willing passengers in the front rows. The fact that this works most of the time is a testament to the training and judgment of airline crews. Second, a diversion is not a failure. It is the system working correctly. The captain made a decision to prioritize safety over schedule, which is exactly what every pilot is trained and licensed to do. The cost of the diversion, whatever it runs, is less than the cost of allowing an uncontrolled situation to continue at altitude. That calculus is not complicated. Third, and this is worth understanding if you fly commercially at all, you're a resource. The crew can ask you for help. If you're sitting on a flight and something goes sideways and the crew is overwhelmed, you are legally and morally in a position to assist. You do not need to wait for explicit permission if the situation is clearly dangerous and the crew is incapacitated or occupied. Courts have held this repeatedly. There's one more angle here that I want to bring in because it connects to something pilots talk about more quietly. Mental health crises at altitude are not rare. They are not talked about openly in the industry, but crews encounter them. Sometimes a passenger's behavior that looks like aggression or intoxication is actually a medical event, a psychiatric emergency, a severe anxiety crisis, or a reaction to medication combined with altitude and cabin pressure. Crews are increasingly trained to distinguish between these scenarios because the response is different. In cases of genuine medical distress, you want a doctor on board if one is available. Many airlines have arrangements with medical advisory services that crews can patch in by radio to get real-time guidance. In cases of deliberate threatening behavior, the response is different and more forceful. The distinction matters, and it's one of the harder judgment calls a crew makes in real time with incomplete information while also flying the airplane. American Airlines released a statement consistent with their standard response to these situations, expressing support for their crew and cooperating with law enforcement. The airline did not provide significant additional detail, which is also standard. The investigation is handled federally, and airlines are careful not to prejudice that process with public statements. What we know is this: the crew identified a threat to the safety of the flight. Passengers assisted. The airplane landed safely. Law enforcement took custody of the individual. That's the system working. It's not elegant. It's not the scenario anyone designs for. But it's exactly the kind of resilient, improvised response that aviation has always depended on when things go sideways in ways the checklist doesn't cover. My sources today come from Aerotime and federal aviation statutes on passenger interference and crew authority. Additional context from FAA enforcement records. You can find more at radiohangar.com/safeskies. I'm Tower.